Would you introduce yourselves, please?
I'm Alex Luciano.
I'm Noah Bowman.
And you're in this thing called?
Diet Sig!
Okay, let's get this out of the way, shall we? Yeah. Is Diet Sig a band, a project, or a burrito?
A burrito. A breakfast burrito.
Guess who went to SUNY Albany? Hi.
What?
How you doing?
518.
Yeah, so yeah. Well, no, Queens boy. But nobody's, all I know is New Paltz and Purchase. Nobody has ever asked you, and I've not seen an interview yet, where the heck you're from originally, where you were born.
I'm from Albany. That's why I've, like, that's so crazy that you went to SUNY Albany. I grew up around Albany. I'm a 518 baby.
So, wait, what was the real, Valentine's?
Right? Oh my gosh, my mom and my stepdad met at Valentine's.
There you go. And it closed, right?
It closed, and now it's a Lobby. Yeah. We played there once, and it was weird. All my high school friends came, and I was like, oh my gosh, get me out of here.
I was born in Manhattan and grew up in Brooklyn.
Okay. Where in Brooklyn?
Borham Hill.
But, you know, Borham Hill back then wasn't exactly.
No, it wasn't. I remember my dad pretty much telling, like, my mom, like, after when it got dark, you couldn't even go into the lobby because we were in the Xlax building on Atlantic Avenue, and it was just like, it just wasn't a very safe place to live. But like now it's like Barclays Center is 3 blocks away from where I grew up. The whole
New York.
Yeah, the whole town is completely different. Like, I don't know anything there anymore. I go back and I'm like, none of this was here. My nursery school was now a Rite Aid. Let's just say that where I went.
Wow. Think about getting prescriptions in nursery school.
I know. Well, I always had a toothbrush, so it was good. Yeah, my teeth are great.
Completely out of floss. I can get it at school.
Exactly, exactly.
My deep, dark secret is that, I thought that my zodiac sign was Sun Leo, Rising Leo, Moon Capricorn, and I talk about it all the time, how I love being a double Leo. I really identify hard with it. And my deep dark secret is that I just found out a couple weeks ago that I got my birth time wrong. When I was calculating this, my mom told me on the day of our release show was like, oh yeah, like you did that thing. Like you were born at 6:18 p.m. And I was like, a.m.? And she was like, no, p.m. And I was like, oh my God, everything I know is wrong. And so I looked it up and I haven't told anyone about it yet, but I am a rising Capricorn.
Okay, so now based on this, how can you possibly be in a band with her?
I am a Capricorn, but every time she does talk about this, I have no idea what's going on.
That's where I was going.
But I'm trying to be cool, and I'm like, yeah, totally, like, it's great. That's another thing, too. No one has ever asked me what my sign is.
What's everyone's your... always like, okay, come on, let's do it.
Yeah, okay, I'm a Capricorn, that's all I know. But, like, everyone's always like, oh, like, you know, what's yours? And we'll go around, and everyone's great. And, like, everyone's like, you'll say you're a Leo, and everyone's like, oh, my God, like, wow, my God, this thing. And then, like, they'll come to me sometimes, and I'll be like, oh, I'm a Capricorn. And they're just like, oh, cool, yeah.
It's like, whatever.
What? I didn't get
the least, ladies and gentlemen, the least sexy sign, and you don't even know if you've got any risings or anything.
I don't even know. I'm just
kind of. You're rising, you're falling.
I don't know. I'm just kind of here, you know.
Back to tattoos. Define a stick and pole, please.
Stick and poke is a tattoo that you you use without using a gun. And so you take a needle and you tape it to like a pencil or something for some good grip, and you dip it in India ink or any other, whatever ink you can find, and you stab and stab and stab until something's on your skin. That's stick and poke. It's like super DIY, super, like, can get pretty sketchy. But for the most part, it's pretty harmless. You get a little blurry tat and it's
okay,
cute.
Okay, so now work backwards into the story about the stick and pole tattoo.
So basically I met Noah the night before I got this tattoo, and we hit it off and we were like, you're cool. And so the next day he was still in town, and so I was like, what are you doing? And he was dubbing tapes at the studio that we actually recorded our record in, and I was like, oh yeah, I'll come hang. And so we get there and I'm with some of my friends I brought, and everyone's like, well, what are we gonna do like while we wait for these tapes to dub? And I was like, let's do stick and poke tattoos. And Noah had a bunch of stick and pokes. And so I was like, oh my goodness, like your stick and poke tattoos are great. Like, can you give me one? Like, I bet you're so good at it. Thinking, oh, maybe he was great. And so we get it all set up and we start doing it. And like, I quickly realized that he had never done this before.
The amateur hour.
Yeah, ultimate amateur hour. And all my friends are like, Alex, who is this guy? Like, where did you meet him? Why are you letting him tattoo you? And it was really fun. And I was like trying to play it cool, but it really hurt. And I was like, oh my goodness. And so it was supposed to be a daisy on my foot. many people have asked me if it was a bumblebee. They've asked me if it was a blob of lint.
Party towns. New Paltz is a party town. It's a college party town. It's known as a college school. Less pressure to be perfect, right? So tell me about that. When you're starting a musical career and it's a little more loosey-goosey and you realize that people are just going to drink a bunch of, you know, PB, you know what's with PB plus R, and it's kind of like, does that make you lazy or does that make you realize, ooh, we've got to get better than this?
I know. I never went to SUNY New Paltz. I don't have any ties there. So it's like, right. I just happen to live there. But yeah, there's just a lot of opportunity for like DIY shows and house shows. And so it just like, you can drink that, you know, PB plus R, but also like go to a show and have a good time and have like, just, you know, there were all the time. It's like every weekend there was a show somewhere.
It was a cool place to kind of start off because I didn't have this feeling of like, okay, let me back up. I was not a great guitarist, lyricist, anything. Like, I did not know what I was doing when we started. And I was really nervous about that. But I quickly realized that, like, the shows in New Paltz weren't about, like, who was the best at being a musician. It was more like, who is having fun? And, like, it was this sense of community. And, like, because it was so not super serious, it was, like, the best place to kind of, like, learn how to be in a band and, like, learn that, like, having fun while you're playing a show is like probably the most important thing. And that I feel like has kind of carried on with us like throughout us being in a band. It's like, if we're not having fun, then it's like, why are we doing it? And so New Paltz was a really cool place to kind of start because it, at least for me, taught me like, oh, it's like okay to like mess up. It's okay to not be like the best. But like if you're having fun and you enjoy doing it, then like that's why you do it.
We live in a world where buzz and hype, particularly with a band like the two of you, the hype and the buzz can sometimes supersede the quality of the music. So how do you, in things like this, when you're talking about it and someone's like, oh my God, you guys are so cool and da 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 da, and they're not talking about the music, they're talking about the hype and the buzz. How do you work it back to the fact that you are serious musicians? You might not be precise musicians, but rock and roll is not about, and never has been about, precision. We're right near the Symphony Hall here. That's not what rock and roll is supposed to be. So how do you deal with that?
Well, I think that a lot of our music, especially in music that we like, is more about, like you're saying, how the music makes you feel, not necessarily how precise you are at your instrument and how complicated you can be, which there's amazing music that makes you feel great that is like that. But I think that our music kind of tries to make you feel something based off of like our songs. And so I think that a lot of the people who listen to our music kind of connect with the feeling and that we kind of have, and they can relate to like the lyrics, and like the songs are just fun, and we're trying to make that come across in our music. And I think that the hype is definitely helpful. Like, I mean, it's so easy to love a band that all of your friends love. It's so easy to love a band that like everyone's saying, love this band. But I think that honestly, like the most valid, like true, like kind of form of, or like the biggest form of validation we get when people come up to us is like when they say like, your music made me feel so happy, or like your music made me feel.
So it supersedes the hype in the long run.
I think so. I think the hype is just like a means to an end. I don't think the hype is like this end goal. I don't think the hype is like really like what we're trying to get after or what people connect with. People don't connect with like articles about our band. People connect with like the way our music makes them feel. And so like you can be like, the people who love our music, not the article they read about it. And so we're super thankful for all the hype. It definitely opens us up to like fans that will connect with our music. But I think a lot of it is just like, the most important thing is like fans connecting with how our music makes them feel, not like how good at our instruments are we, or like what the hype is, like this crazy article. It's just like, for some reason our music connects with them, and that's really cool.
How do you go from, okay, we meet, we play some songs, we make some stuff, to we've got a team, we spend a month in the studio making our record, which is a lot, that's a luxury. And it's not only getting lucky, but obviously people embraced you pretty early on.
Right. I think we surrounded ourselves with people that are just, that we're friends with, and that like also work in this field, like just the fact that we got to spend so much time in the studio was because I was good friends with the engineer, Chris Daly, and, like, I lived actually in the studio for a while, and just, like, we had a good bond, and it was just, like, you know, we wanted to work on this thing together, and so, like, that helped with the recording process, but then also, like, we just worked really hard. We just, like, decided we wanted to do this, and, like, it may look like we're just, like, jumping around having a good time, but, like, a lot of, like, when we're not on stage, like, we're constantly working. Like, this is, like, a job that we like to do, and, like, you know, people say a job is, like, oh, a job, but, like, no, this is, like, a fun thing. This is a job we, like, actually enjoy doing, all the hard work and all the BS that, like, no one ever thinks about or will ever see, or, like,
a lot, you know, of emails. I think the way we got there was through email. Thank you, Gmail. Yeah. It was just so much planning and, like, so much, like, it is a lot of hard work. It's like our full-time job at this point. And I think we just, like, had a lot of fun together and just made sure, like, okay, if we're not having fun anymore, then we don't want to do this. And that was kind of always our benchmark of, like, how are we going to go forward? Like, we want to do things that make us happy, and if it's good and we like it, then we'll do it. And we kind of just took that as our mantra and just kind of went forward, and we were like, okay, whatever happens, happens. And we got lucky, and we worked hard, and, like, definitely a combination of, like, all of these things happened. It's, like, the perfect storm of, like, we're still, like, oh, my God, how are we doing this? How did we get to do this? Like, what is our life right now? Like, how are we?
Also, I think it helped that we committed. Like, I've been in bands before where it's, like, you know, half of the band is into and half of the band is just, like, oh, this is a thing we're doing? Oh, I didn't know this was serious. But, like, when we started this band, at first it was kind of just, like, oh, this is a thing we're doing. But then we realized, like, oh, actually, like, we like this and people like it. So, like, why not? Are you want to commit? You want to commit? We both dropped out of, you know, we're both college dropouts. We're both just like, hey, we're going to do this. And we've done it. And we just, like, have become a team. And we've built a really cool team, too, with, like, you know, we travel with four people now. We have front of house and a merch guy, and we have our manager and our labels. And it's just, like, we've really, like, worked hard to get to those people and build this little community of what Diet Sick is.
Alex. That opening song.
Oh, my gosh.
See where I'm going?
Yes.
Brave. Very brave to open a record with that, because all the radio folks were looking for the hit single.
Yeah, I think that, honestly, it's about being, like, honest in a way. And I, like, you know, like, we could have put, like, the hits, like, right off the bat. Like, personally, I love that song. I think it's, like, a hit in my heart. I know it's not a radio song, for sure. But I just thought, like, when we were putting these songs together, I was, like, just knew. I was, like, this song belongs as the first song. Like, this captures exactly what I'm saying, like, in this whole record. And I don't care if it's, like, not the hit that someone's going to immediately hear and put on the radio. But I thought that's where it belonged on the record. And
label didn't say, you know, you've got to sequence the record where the first track and the third track are the singles.
Yeah.
And the fifth track's got to be the blah, blah, blah.
I honestly, like, when we sent them the sequence, they were just like, cool, like, whatever you want, which was really amazing. We were super thankful that they they trusted us a lot, which was really exciting, because we've heard a lot of horror stories about labels who kind of extend their reach a little far in the creative process. But they were super kind. Like, I was like, this is what it is. And they were like, cool, we trust you.
But then there's a banger on there, Made of the Mist. Now, that's more like what you like live, is it not?
That was definitely written in the studio. And I think we kind of went into that one as like it's a little bit more like our older stuff. And we were kind of like, let's just do one that's, like, more true to, like, where we kind of came from, but with still newer elements of what we're trying to and where we're going. And so that one was definitely just, like, kind of like, it just kind of came out. It was just kind of like a word vomit, like, you know, fart bomb that just, like, happened. And we were like, oh, this is a cool song. It's my favorite song to play live right now.
Yeah,
honestly. So
I think it really kind of, like you said, showed, like, who we are live. We did it. It was kind of on the fly, and we were like, you know what? Let's just, like, do what we're good at and make this song. And it was, like, one of the songs we were most proud of on the record, and we wrote it, like, in the studio, like, one of the first days. So that was pretty cool.
There's always these lists of 10 things that millennials do and the qualities, right? And one of them is supporting causes. That millennials really like to support causes. So once again, people probably are like, are they really sincere? Because you're following all the millennial rules exactly as you're supposed to. But it is sincere. Take tummy ache, right?
Yeah, it's 100% sincere. I think that all of our songs and like kind of the way we come across like online and through everything is kind of this like direct extension of who we are. And I really like Tummy Ache was a song that I wrote out of my own frustrations, and I could just feel this like I don't know, it's really frustrating. And once we wrote this song and we played it live before we even recorded it, I realized it resonated with a lot of people. And I was like, okay, like this song is like bigger than just me and my issues. And so when we kind of started recording, I really was thinking about like, what am I like trying to say? Like this song obviously resonates. Like how can I like take that feeling that other people are connecting with and like actually help instead of just like singing about it and like telling my feelings? Like, is there a way to like tangibly help and like change something, like change my frustration and like reclaim that and turn it into something that is good and positive and like can bring change? And so after we recorded it, we decided to, for the music video, hire girls from local girls' rock camps to be in it. And so we really wanted to kind of raise awareness for these camps that are encouraging young women to like make music and like be involved in activism and all these incredible other themes, like, you know, like empowerment. And it was really cool to work with them, and it was cool to be able to give them that exposure. And also like we just to hire them and like donate to the camps for doing this with us, and then eventually turn that into having girls camps open for us on tour. So we kind of took this idea of Tummy Ache, of this like empowerment for femmes and other like marginalized folks, and just take that and be like, okay, what can we do with this? How can we make this bigger than just this song? And like, how can we tangibly help other folks who are feeling oppressed by like the patriarchy, I guess? And so it was really exciting to work with those girls in the music video. They were so cool and like so inspiring to us. And it was exciting to be able to kind of give back to these camps that are encouraging young girls to be themselves and to write music and to feel empowered to make music to cause change. And so that was really exciting to do that.
So I'm on Facebook and I have a really good friend, and he's a guy who discovers things. And so next thing you know, he posts this review, and this review is from a magazine that I will refer to as Bitchfork. I have a real problem with journalism that starts with self-entitlement and is all about the journalist and not about the bad. Do when you hear about things like this and it becomes beyond the band, and it doesn't even matter whether you get a 5 point, I think you got a 5.1 for the EP and a 5.4. It's not about a bad review, but it goes beyond the music and it starts turning into a social media thing that people are talking about more than the music. How do you deal with that?
It's interesting. And it's
not, do you care?
Personally, I don't really care. At the day it happened, it was a little bit of kind of like, that's kind of strange because we're getting all this kind of positive thing. It's the day of release. It's a positive day. We're super excited. But there's just this one little, like, let's say, like, tick or whatever that was just kind of like, oh, like this. And I, at first, it was just kind of like, oh, this seems like a, this, like, whatever. I just, like, kind of, like, blew it by. But I never really followed this site. And I've kind of took it out of my head, like, years ago, like I used to. And I just don't really, I don't know, I just didn't really believe in it. And so, like, I don't know, I'm maybe not the right person to say. Maybe Alex has a better opinion on it.
I honestly think it kind of goes back to what I was saying before, how media and hype and all of that kind of stuff is just a means to an end of being able to share our music with people and kind of get that feeling across. And so it was something I was like, okay, this is negative, but in the end, like, that is not what matters to us. I think it matters more what the people who genuinely care about our music think. And I think that press and all of those things, really, even the good stuff, it, like, that's not why we're here. That's not why we make music. We don't make music for good reviews. We don't make music to, like, get in magazines and stuff. Like, we make music because we love it and it's so fun and it's really exciting to be able to connect with people through our music. And so it was one of those things that was definitely a bummer, but the outpour of support from people who cared about our music and like really believed in what we were doing was so amazing after that came out. And honestly, that made us realize, like, these press things don't matter. Like, this is not why we're here. We're here for the people who believe in us, and we're here, like, to have fun and to enjoy making music and connecting with people through it. And so, like, when that came out, we were kind of just like, well, that stinks. But, like, we're here for something bigger than that.
Well done. Am I the only person that actually went down, dared to go down that road, by the way?
To be fair, you're the only person we've given a genuine answer to. Because you, I appreciated the way you asked the question.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. It's two of your songs as the bread, and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between.